This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. We're going to talk to Hall of Fame cornerback Deion Sanders. Also, Deion was an excellent baseball player, and I think could have been a great baseball player, like a legit great baseball player, like maybe a Hall of Famer, had he devoted his career just to baseball. Because he was the leadoff hitter, and a good one, for a perennial powerhouse playoff team in Atlanta. He got on base, he stole bases, he played defense. And obviously, he was the... Deion Sanders, when you take your all-time team, if like you're picking defensive players, if you're picking your defense, LT is my number one pick all-time on defense. Deion Sanders is number two. I put him ahead of anybody else. I think he had a greater effect on the game than anyone but Lawrence Taylor on defense. Anyway, Deion Sanders coming up in a little bit. And, of course, winning coach of Jackson State football. So far, they played one game this season, and they've won one game this season. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. The Lakers lose, of course, at a 114-89 blowout loss to the Utah Jazz last night. Lakers got smoked by the Jazz in their fourth consecutive loss. It's the largest loss of the season. They're 5-5 now, a 500 team, obviously, without Anthony Davis. And by the way, no Dennis Schroeder. And Schroeder, it sounds funny, but he's the third best player on the team. It's not that Schroeder's a great player, but he's a solid player. And the position he plays, point guard, is really what the Lakers need. I was just taking shots at the Knicks last segment. Still on the brain. Really what the Lakers need. They need, like, every team needs multiple players who can create for themselves and others. They have to be able to get their own shot, and they also have to be able to create for teammates. I like Talen Horton Tucker. He can get his own shot. And even though he's like a weird-shaped dude to be that guy, but he does. I like Horton Tucker's game a lot, and I think the preseason, this was no, like, mirage. He's not going to create for others. He tries. You know, he had like 5 assists last night. That's not really his game. So without that second guy, everything falls on an ancient LeBron James by NBA standards, right? Not only 36 years old, but 18th season in the league? Going to the finals every freaking year? Guy's exhausted. And now no Anthony Davis, so the defense falls off. Look, not to mention the offense. They get a pass for last night's loss. They get a pass. I was arguing with Stephen A. Smith on First Take today, and he's like, look, I don't give a pass for lack of defensive effort, and I understand that. But if you're the Lakers and you're missing your only other real playmaker other than LeBron on the team, and you're missing Anthony Davis, you're a top-heavy team with 2 MVP-caliber players, but as a result, limited role players, and you are on a road trip at the hottest team in the league with the best record in the NBA, who reminding people of the best version of the Spurs championship teams, and you lose to them, okay, I get it. I get it. You're tired, you're shorthanded, and you're playing a juggernaut right now. But is this rough spot, are you concerned for the Lakers because of this rough spot? Markieff Morris said that the team needs different players to do different things. That's pretty clear over the Lakers' 4-game losing streak. They're struggling in nearly every offensive category. And I mentioned when AD got hurt, the silver lining could be that every year of his career, LeBron James, you know, since he started getting on finals caliber teams, and I don't just mean the Cavs in 07, when that's not a finals caliber team, that's LeBron James and, you know, company. I'm talking about once he went to Miami and then to Cleveland and then to the Lakers. Except for one season before last, he was always on championship caliber teams, right? Other great players, big three in Miami, big three in Cleveland, and with the Lakers, AD. So, except for the first year on the Lakers. So, all those seasons, LeBron has to figure out early. Think of how often in Miami or Cleveland, their record wasn't so good early on. Because LeBron's thinking, how do I lead this group of guys to the promised land? Who can I count on? Who can I rely on? And then if I can't rely on this guy to do that, what if I put him in a different position? And I can rely on him to do that. That's leadership. It's figuring it out. And LeBron's a basketball genius. So That's what he does early in seasons. That's kind of the situation he's in now with these Lakers. He's got to figure it out. Who can, but that's the silver lining. He can find out about guys so that when AD gets back, he knows more than ever about his teammates and what they can and can't do and what positions they need to be in. LeBron on the Lakers losing streak.
It's always about staying confident, continuing to give my teammates the courage and the confidence out there on the floor and to make plays. And, you know, it's a tough stress for us, but, you know, this won't define who we will be for the rest of the season and for the long haul, that's for sure.
Look, the Lakers also ran into a juggernaut in Utah. At home, by the way. Utah's at home. Jordan Clarkson, remember him, Lakers fans, second round pick? Who we all thought in L.A., oh, look at him. But you know what that is. Usually there's a guy like that. He gets drafted a little later on or he's undrafted and he shows flashes and he can be a stat stuffer on a bad team. But is he a winner? Is he actually good? You start to look at the shooting. Yeah, I saw him hit some big shots. But then you look, he's like he's hitting 31% from three and he's just kind of a volume player. But he can slash and handle and, you know, get his own shot. So you squint and hope that you're seeing something good. That was Clarkson early in his career. He has, you know, when he came up with D'Angelo Russell. But he has evolved into a legitimate sixth man of the year. Now, part of that is because Quinn Snyder and his staff have been great. Part of it's because his teammates have been great. He has an old, like, Jedi master running the point in Mike Conley, with the first unit anyway. Donovan Mitchell is a star. Royce O'Neal is a great defender, one of the best in the NBA, and also a really good shooter and a willing passer. Bogdanovich is just an offensive force. And Gobert is among the best defenders in the league and a useful offensive piece rolling to the basket. So sometimes Gobert has been in the past a little lazy on offense. It's funny because you think of lazy players as slacking on defense, but Gobert takes pride in his defense, and at times I felt maybe he was a little lazy on offense, but that's not the case anymore. And at any rate, then the bench. Joe Ingles is like the mirror image of Royce O'Neal in the sense that where O'Neal is a good offensive player who's great on defense and versatile on defense, Ingles is a good defensive player who's really versatile on offense. He's your seventh man. He's not even your sixth man. And Derek Favors, a useful big or a useful body, is your eighth guy on the bench. Jordan Clarkson, Lakers fans, you know what he's doing for Utah this year? He's shooting 8.5 threes a game, almost 9 threes a game, and hitting 38% of them. And he ain't shooting a lot of free throws, but I want to say I'm doing this from memory. I looked at it today. I want to say it's 96%. Raj, could you look up Jordan Clarkson's free throw percentage? I think it's 96%. It's something like absurd. Free throw shooting really shows you like more of an indicator of future shooting success probably than anything else. No, the Lakers ran into a juggernaut and they're firing on all cylinders. And importantly, they're healthy. Lakers are going to be fine, provided AD gets back healthy. Now, here's the question. The Jazz, last year, extended Denver to a seventh game without Bogdanovich and without Clarkson playing like this and without Conley playing like this. I think it's safe to say this Jazz team beats the Denver team they lost to in seven games in one of the best first-round matchups I've ever seen. And also, Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell put on a show that is as good as any dueling superstar show I think I've ever seen. That was just absurd what happened. But I think this version of the Utah team beats that version of the Denver team. Does that mean they have a real chance to upset the apple cart and win the whole thing this year? Do the Lakers have something to worry about? Go ahead, Raj.
By the way, you're way off on your stat. You said Jordan Clarkson shoots 96% free throw. Yeah, you're way off. It's 96.1. Get your facts straight, buddy.
Sorry. 96.1%. Right. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. So the 38% from three is not a mirage. He's shooting almost 9 of them a game. And this dude's your sixth man. And then Ingles starts on a lot of teams. A lot of teams. By the way, would Ingles start on the Lakers? Yeah. Who would start over Ingles on the Lakers? He would. So he's their seventh guy. So the Jazz pose a threat even when the Lakers get healthy. I agree with Markieff Morris. Playoffs are different. And the question will be, can Conley rise to be a real Robin to Donovan Mitchell's Batman in crunch time? Guys who can really go get their own shots when you need them to. But in the meantime, they move the ball like the Spurs did, and sometimes you don't need that guy if you do it on a certain level. And meantime, the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard is now organizing the offense the way he really didn't last year, and he made strides as a point forward type last year, but it's not really his game. But this year, he's like as good as anybody. And now with Paul George back, they're the only team to beat the Jazz recently. Lakers got their work cut out in the Western Conference. I'm not talking about anybody else like Denver. I'm just saying between Utah and the Clippers, Lakers got their work cut out. Dan Graziano, at Dan Graziano ESPN. Per sources, Dan Graziano reports, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson met with new Texans head coach David Culley last Friday. In that meeting, Watson reiterated that he wants to be traded and told Culley he has no intention of playing for the Texans ever again, or at least again now. No change from Watson's end. He remains dug in. Do the Jets have a chance to get him? Do the Bears? I think the Bears, I mean, they've been dying for a quarterback. I'm 47 years old. I'm not from Chicago. I'm from New York originally. Only two cities I ever really lived in, New York and L.A., although I had a place in D.C. when I was hosting Around the Horn for 15 months in like 02, 03. I can tell you right now, my whole life, no town is more football crazy than Chicago. And Chicago, in the middle of one of Michael Jordan's three-peats, they had a skit on SNL all about the Bears. They didn't talk about the Bulls, the Bears. I remember one time they had a question like, if Jordan and Ditka had a fight for the fate of the universe on the line, you know, one of these things, who would win? And they said, there's no way to determine it. Like, Ditka was the least respected of the Super Bowl winning coaches that I can remember. They carried his defensive coordinator, Buddy Ryan, off the field. Ditka won one Super Bowl, greatest football team of all time, right? The 85 Bears, but one Super Bowl. Jordan was the greatest player in the history of sports in the universe. And they were comparing Ditka to Jordan. That's how football crazy it is. And they've never had a quarterback. They never had a single quarterback on the Bears. Could you imagine Deshaun Watson with that defense? You draft him an offensive lineman or two? Oh, my God. But I think Miami has the best chance to get him. If Miami wants him, they got him. No state income tax, beautiful weather, glamorous destination. And unlike the Jets, who'd have to give up everything to get Deshaun Watson, and then why would Watson want to play with the Jets? Because it's a rebuilding situation. The Dolphins are stacked and could afford to give up Tua and the third overall pick in the draft and a second round pick. Like, they could put something together that would be the best package the Texans are likely to receive. And from Deshaun's point of view, he has a no-trade clause. Why would he say no to Miami? They'd still be good, and they're still in Miami. And they're well-coached. From Adam Schefter, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade, his agent Mark Rogers told ESPN. However, Russell Wilson has told the Seahawks, yes, he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. So maybe the Bears can get their man after all. And Russell Wilson, given his, you know, like, it's, I know it's the Windy City and all that, doesn't favor the passer, but Russell Wilson can get it done so many ways, and it's not like he has a howitzer for an arm. But Russell has a nice touch. He has a nice feathery touch. Boy, he can put that ball in the receiver's hands. He figures it out. And he can obviously run. Russell Wilson on the Bears. Could you imagine? 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Andrew in Atlanta, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Andrew. Oh, Andrew. Chris from L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, I just want to say that we're not talking about Dennis Schroeder enough or his lack of responsibility for not for getting caught up in the COVID, which has really affected the Lakers. Mm-hmm. We probably wouldn't win all the games, but we wouldn't be in such a bad losing streak. And then my next thing I want to just jump on is about the quarterbacks. You can't grow the quarterback without an offensive line and some weapons. So it doesn't matter what quarterback you typically draft. If you're not going to build around the quarterback, then drafting the quarterback is a waste. And I wanted to know what you thought about that.
Number one, with COVID, you could get COVID or even have to enter protocols, even sometimes when you're being responsible. That's number one. People should realize that. Although I agree that I'm sure that there's a strong positive correlation among people who are neurotic about trying not to get it and people who actually don't get it, right? Probably there's a strong positive correlation there, but I'm not even willing to say for sure because, you know, it's everywhere. Okay. Although there's a lot of reason for optimism about the whole thing right now. At any rate, that was the first one, Schroeder. What was the second one? I already forgot. Oh, the Jets. I get it. I'm not saying that Sam Darnold is necessarily a bust. I'm saying there's a chance he might still be a good quarterback, although I never thought he'd be great. I thought Darnold could be like a B-plus for 15 years if it works out, right? Whereas I looked at Baker Mayfield, and I thought he might be an A. Maybe it's a shorter career. He's older. He's smaller. I thought, a little more reckless in a way. But maybe he has a higher ceiling. And obviously, it turns out now, it looks like Josh Allen has the highest ceiling, and the Bills were right. He's big. He's the most athletic. He has the biggest arm, and he's on the best team, so he's developed. So I hear you. I'm just saying at this point, we have a large sample size on Darnold, and he's been the worst starter in the league. Yes, a lot of that's on the Jets, but you're still hoping he develops into something as though you just drafted him. The difference being maybe you have a little less hope than you once did, and the rookie deal is almost up versus getting a guy like, say, Justin Fields, who I think has more upside, and being able to accrue even more draft capital. I don't know. I think like hoping and praying that Sam Darnold turns into the guy you thought he'd be 4 years ago. I don't know if I'd be in that business. Lee in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, it's Ali, not Lee. Look,
Ali,
I'm going to disagree with you. I disagree with you. I'm 55 years old. I don't think that I'm a Laker fan. But I don't think that they're going to get out of this, and simply is because of the decisions that Rob Pelinka made. Because I got to tell you, last year the Lakers funneled players to the rim to meet McGee and Howard, and there's nobody there right now. Nobody.
Yeah, but you could pick up a guy like that at the deadline. You could pick up a guy like that. Those guys are around. I would say this. I understood the idea of getting Marc Gasol. If guys get a little more expensive and you have a chance to get a player who in recent years has been better than those guys – defensively and offensively, and who can stretch the floor, you get him. But Gasol, it looks spent to me. And whereas Dwight and JaVale were active defensively, so I understand what you're saying. I just think that's a piece, like with the Nets need a guy like that too, you know, in addition to DeAndre Jordan. But those guys are available by the deadline and cheap usually. You can get some bodies to do that, so I'm not overly concerned. But I hear you, especially without AD, that absence is glaring. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Why haven't the Cowboys signed Dak? I'll ask Cowboys Hall of Fame cornerback, the GOAT of his position, primetime Deion Sanders coming up. Sports is using technology to take fan experience to the next level, like having digital fans in the stands. When it comes to hiring, there's one solution that's been advancing its technology for years, ZipRecruiter. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Max. ZipRecruiter's technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/MAX. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Max. Jackson State head coach Deion Sanders coming up on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. So it's 1989. I'm in the 10th grade. Buddy of mine and I go to a Yankee Stadium. I used to live in Yankee Stadium, boy, even when they stunk. And because the Yankees deserve your loyalty, they've earned it the way the Lakers have. Not the Knicks fans, the Lakers have, the Yankees have. And I'm watching a last-place team. And usually I sit in the bleachers, but for some reason we sat way up in the nosebleeds. And so it was really hard to see the field. And the Yankees had a center fielder, Roberto Kelly. Real good player, made the All-Star team, maybe not that year, but it was his rookie year, and he stole 30 bases, and he hit 300, he played a good center field, and I'm watching from where I'm sitting, and a ball gets hit to center field, and Roberto Kelly takes off. I'm like, this dude has jets on, like, what, Roberto Kelly's even better than I realized. I might be the fastest outfielder I've ever seen. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited, and he looks maybe a little stockier than Roberto Kelly. Turns out it was Deion Sanders. Oh, my God. That was in 1989 as a baseball player. Deion Sanders, Jackson State head coach, joins me now on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, Hall of Fame cornerback on the Goodyear Hotline. What's going on, Prime?
How you doing, my man? Thank you for finally letting me get down with you, man.
Oh, anytime.
Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't know you don't need an invite. Let me tell you something. I'm from New York. I'm an LT guy. If I had to draft my all-time defense, you know I'm taking LT. Deion Sanders is now. I will take you before Reggie White, Bruce Smith, J.J. Watt, you know, anybody you name. I mean, you and your prime at corner was something to see. And now you said the other day, one of your proudest moments as a professional, your first win as a head coach. Why is that win so meaningful for you?
Because I didn't have to exude my athleticism. I didn't have to use those type of talents. This is a whole nother realm. It's a whole nother thought process. It's a whole nother energy. And it's leading men. It's leading young men with so much potential. It's leading coaches, is leading the managers, the trainers, the support staff. It's the fan base, the culture. It's everything involved in trying to change and shape the way we think in our country. And it just was so rewarding and satisfying, man. The Gatorade bath that you seen on television, two players that came over, transferred over, man, that I love to life. I'm serious, man. Nothing that I've ever completed or earned in sports can top that feeling.
And wow, that's amazing. And the interesting thing to me about you is, talking to the great Deion Sanders, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, is usually I can't even think of any guys on your level who came back to coach. In other words, like Michael Jordan doesn't come back to coach. Kobe Bryant doesn't coach. I don't see Tom Brady coaching when he's done. You're the greatest cornerback to me ever, by far. And like those guys normally don't come back and like pay it forward in that way. But you have decided to do that. What is it in you that decided I want at your level to come back and coach?
Well, the difference in me and some of those guys you mentioned, first of all, thank you for even placing me on that heralded list. But I am someone who loves to help people. I'm a guy who loves the future and loves the possibilities of tomorrow, that sees we're almost halfway full, not halfway empty. That's the way I think. That's why I reach out to so many guys that's active playing today and make those out of my little brothers, those young guys that I try my best to mentor if they want it and need it. But that's just who I'm called to be. That's my calling from the Lord. That has nothing to do with something you just roll over and say, I'm going to do this. No, that's the calling, man.
But Prime, that's got to be one of the reasons I think, and I think a lot of people think, that guys on that level don't come back to coach is because – it like guys who are mere mortals in their sports, they understand the struggles of a normal player, right? They understand that they're limited. A lot of times dudes who are talented on a certain level, it's like, come on, you're sorry behind. Why can't you do, you know, they don't understand why other guys can't do what they did. So what is it like as like the superhuman athlete level to look at regular athletes and have to coach them?
Well, you don't compare those guys to you. You find out who they are and what they are, how they are, and you try to make them the best them that they could be. You're not saying, I want you to be me. That's crazy. You're going to get in trouble. Michael Jordan couldn't do that. Kobe couldn't do that. None of those guys that played at that level, you can't have the thought process of that guy can emulate or imitate you. That's not going to happen. You set yourself for a huge letdown. But my challenge, as well as with my biological kids, is you don't have to be me, but I need you to be the best you can be each and every day. And it's probably another thing that's hard when those guys that you aforementioned also, when guys make a certain level of money, they don't need those other trappings. They don't need those other challenges, those other dysfunctions that they don't need. They want to sit back with the remote control and control the narrative. I'm built a little different, my man. I mean, not that there's a need or whatsoever, but God has called me to be something else. He didn't call me to sit on the couch and sit back and analyze and criticize and all that. He called me to go make it happen. Go do it. Prime, bring a solution to the problems of today.
That's admirable. I also heard you on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and Key was asking you about FSU, and you were talking about what you laid out for them. And the fact is, not only do you want to coach enough to come back at your level, which is rare, but you're willing to start in a place where, like, you didn't get the glamour job off the bat. But your team just won, a team that last season they played, lost more than they won and didn't win any blowouts, just won 53-0 in your debut. Are you motivated at all by being passed up by FSU, like, watch this?
It's not their fault. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing just what I'm supposed to do. I'm right in that place called there. And that's that place that we all are searching for. And I'm here. That place called there is that place that brings you peace, serenity, love, compassion, thoughtfulness, gentleness, goodness, all of that. And I'm right where I want to be in life. I can't wake up and say, you know what? I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. That's not where I am. I am right where I want to be. And I'm happy and proud of it. And I'm with my kids. I want my kids. I get to
That's
coach
special.
My kids, man. I get to mature my kids through life. I get to see them grow up to be young adults, man.
That's
special. I love that.
Yeah, that's special. Okay, real quick before I let you go, I got to get one Cowboys question in. Speaking of being where you're supposed to be, why hasn't Jerry just signed Dak already, Prime? Just signed Dak? How hard is this? You lose the negotiation, Jerry. I thought maybe you would win. You lost. 140 over 3 years. It's only going up. Why doesn't he just sign him?
I asked Jerry that same question. He say, it's not why, it's when. Everybody keeps saying why. It's not why. It's just Jerry says when. He said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to make it right. But when I get ready to do it, I'm going to do it. He said, Dak is going to be happy. I've already offered him a lot of money to make him one of the richest players in the league. And he's going to be happy. He's going to be proud. So it's not why, it's when.
Jerry's one of the few guys. He's got a big ego. But a lot of owners couldn't swallow their pride and just like, look, I got beaten this. Here it is. Because you win once you sign the player anyway. I think Jerry does. I think Jerry's ego can handle it. Like, all right, look, this dude beat me. Here's the 120. You know, come on board. The great Deion Sanders, ladies and gentlemen.
I see him totally different, Max.
What's that?
I see Jerry totally different, man. I see him. Jerry is one of the best guys I know, especially in ownership, that I've ever played with. And I could call him a friend. Mm-hmm. Very intelligent. I think he gets a bad rap on who he is and how he is. But I've never seen a former player. I've never heard a former player off camera have anything negative to say about
it's
Jerry
true.
Jones.
That's true. I haven't
that
either.
That says a lot about who he is.
It's true. Everyone, all the players like Jerry.
Never.
It's true.
Never.
In private, you never hear him badmouth him. That's real.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Never. Never.
The head coach of Jackson State, right? He is where he is, right where he needs to be. The great Deion Sanders, ladies and gentlemen, Prime. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Continued success at Jackson
Keep
State.
Keep on kicking Stephen A's butt.
Oh, every day. You
Keep
know I'm handing out those
Keep on kicking Stephen else. A's butt. Kick his butt, man.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. Coming up, right, that was the great Deion Sanders, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up, Kyrie said something that some feel actually makes sense. Kyrie's been making more sense recently. Isn't it amazing when you start to win a lot how much more sense everyone thinks you make? The college basketball season's heating up. That means that Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. So go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch as this season rolls on. Don't miss Iowa sensation Luka Garza tonight as the number 9 Hawkeyes travel to Ann Arbor to take on the number 3 Wolverines at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. The John R. Wooden Award is presented by Wendy's. Last take coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. A new NBA logo, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. LA knows what I'm talking about. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Brooklyn Nets star Kyrie Irving, good friend of Kobe Bryant, is advocating for a new NBA logo. On Wednesday, Irving posted a picture calling for the league to change its logo to honor his mentor and close friend, the late Los Angeles Lakers legend, Kobe Bryant. The fact that we have to say the late Kobe Bryant, it is so unbelievable to me. There are some people, and I've known some quite well in my lifetime, who are so present and so alive. The idea that the world keeps spinning and their consciousness is snuffed out is impossible to understand. It doesn't feel like it's real. I still don't feel like it's real. Kobe was such a pleasure to talk to. And by the way, there were times where I felt like, boy, he's really good at kind of, and this is a power broker. They explain things to people in a way where their best interest, where they are elevated, is actually everyone's best interest. Kobe was a genius that way. But because he was playing basketball, it was basically true, right? One of the greatest players of all time. And the more responsibility he took on, the better the situation was for everyone. Kyrie said, quote, "It's got to happen. I don't care what anyone says. Black Kings built the league." He's not wrong about that. Black Kings and Larry Bird. But built the league. He's right. And here's the other thing. I always thought that the logo for the NBA, instead of Jerry West's silhouette, should be Michael Jordan's Jumpman. But actually, Jordan and Nike own that, right? Like, that can't be the NBA logo. And I think it would be a beautiful honor if you used at least Kobe's silhouette, something like that, some iconic image as the logo. You know, Jerry West was the Kobe of his day, and he was Mr. Clutch. He was the guy scoring 30 a game for the world champion Lakers, and then he was the logo all this time. Why not Kobe Bryant? I have 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Jack in Louisiana, go. Jack. Well, too late, Jack. That was it. Oh, I got 30 seconds now? Yes or no? Yes or no? Mitch in New Jersey, go. You got 20 seconds.
Max, you talk about the Bears never have drafted a quarterback. I think the Jets haven't drafted a good quarterback since Joe Namath.
Yeah,
Watson would be foolish if he thinks he'd be better off at the, being with the Jets.
I'll tell you,
Houston.
But this is the problem with the Jets. Yes, they have a package that could land him. Why would Deshaun want to go there? You got to empty the cupboard to get him. Now he's into another rebuilding situation. Why? If for that, he goes to Miami. Let's be honest. If Miami wants him, they can offer the best package for Deshaun and for the Texans. It's just what it is. Tua and multiple number ones, and they'd still be really good. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. See you tomorrow, perv.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.